You know, learning to work in teams, is that an important skill?
What they've shown in research is that children that actually have a contribution, that are participating as a team in the home, they do much better later on in life because they've learned how to participate, how to be part of a team, how to contribute, how to do it even when they don't want to do it.
This is a Baby Brunch podcast. This podcast is supported by Epimax Baby and Junior. The range of Epimax Baby and Junior gentle all-purpose emollient moisturizers is an all-day, everyday favorite for babies and children. Give your child a good start to every day by nourishing and protecting their skin with Epimax.
We've had amazing guests on Baby Brunch, and I love educators. Today, we have one who have literally ticked all the boxes, from her BA degree, diplomas in Montessori, foundation phase, special needs education. If you are looking for someone who has raised two gorgeous girls and who can help us raise ours, it is our guest for today. Renee, it's really wonderful to speak to you. I know that you belong to a whole family and community of educators that's helping us raise South Africa, and that's going to help us with today's topic. We were really struggling on what to call it. So just so you know, for the sake of this podcast, even though we're calling it Using Objects Around the House for Education Purposes, we're actually talking here about children who in the future are become entrepreneurs. We're talking here about keeping our children creative. We're talking here about our children and particularly what to do with children to keep them safe and to help them develop psychologically. So we're going to touch on that because it all happens through learning, through play, and what we need to do that. And guess what? All the things to help our children nurture and grow is in the comfort of our home. But first, a roaring round of applause to Renee Lighting, all the way from Rainy Claremont. How's it?
So nice to be here. Thank you so much for the invitation. I'm delighted to be here, even though it's raining outside. Yes.
The one thing we want is for light and love and prosperity to rain upon our children, and may that happen in all of our lives. What can we do to prepare our children for the world out there? You know, they are thriving and they're entering into a new era of leaving school, or they are changing from one school to another, or they are leaving their toddler phase into preschool and into grade one, or even from primary school into a tertiary education, into a high school. What can we do to prepare children for this world? And it almost feels like this is a question for us as adults, you know, from parents transitioning from one form or life into another.
Mm-hmm. So thank you for that question, Ilana. So for me, I think what you just said is so relevant. So I had to bring some of my playthings. So I'm not sure you can see that, but it is the ABACA. So we teach children the ABACA, the ABC. And I think that's one of the biggest things I've ever learned, is that really that parents are teaching their little ones that song, you know, A, B, C, D, E, F, G. And then they come to us in grade one, even in grade R now, and we teach them the sound as opposed to the name of the letter. So even if you're a parent and a first-time parent, you may not know that it's abacada. So I'm going to also say that the abaca for me is adults before children. For me, that is so powerful. Like, you know, the win is like, what's important now? Is like, as an adult, is like, what is needed at this stage for my child? And how do I do that in being present, playful, engaging? How do I invite, you know, that interaction, that purposeful play, that curiosity, that love of learning? So it really starts with me first as the adult. And then the child. And yeah, that's quite a nice shift, you know. So, and that acronym WIN is like, what's important now, Renee? You know, and I might be having a 1-year-old and seeing a certain kind of behavior. Or it might be I've got a 6-year-old who's in grade R, or an 8-year-old, 9-year-old. What's important now? What do I need to look at and remember what is needed? And I need that first.
This is, you know, I must tell you, I did not expect this answer from you, and this is wonderful in so many ways. I'll tell you where what just happened for me. So we happen to have had orators this week, and I am a mom that is really actually just happy with your best. You must just have fun. I don't want you to excel. I don't want the prizes. I don't need you to be on stage. I don't need you to. And this week, I looked at all these little ones doing their speeches. And even though it was all adorable and so amazingly cute, I realized that some were there because they want to win. And all of a sudden, I felt, but should I have prepared my little one to win too? Because I didn't, you know? And when you say to me, what is important now? That acronym is useful for me in that situation, because actually I just wanted to have fun now. I'm not trying to nurture a future leader or a president. I'm actually just wanting her to enjoy grade one in school. So it is so important what you have said. Just give me the abaca again. So WI, because it resonated with me, I remembered it. But what is the abaca acronym for adults?
Yeah, so it's adults before children. So for us, you know, in the old days, so I'm an old teacher. I trained way back in, you know, the late 1978, beginning, I started teaching early 80s. And, you know, for us, what you're wanting to remember is really like adults before children. If we are going to invite our parents to walk alongside us as educators, we need to have their support, and we need to give them the tips and tools that will make life easier for them. So the adults before children is also knowing, like, how do I self-regulate as a child, as the parent? Like, what are the tips and tools I need first? It's me first. Like, so I work with literally thousands probably of teachers, and it's so, I just, what I love and where my heart is, you know, I never learned this stuff when I studied as to be a teacher so long ago. 8 years of studying, I only learned what I needed to self-regulate, how important this thing is, you know, in a way that I suddenly realize it's me first, then the children.
She's pointing to her brain.
Yeah. It's me first, then it's my children. Because we teach with our head, our hearts, and our hands. And my thinking is so important. So if we're going to prepare our children for jobs that we haven't even thought of yet, you know, where our grade one child is going to be, you know, doing jobs that we can't even begin to imagine right now. I mean, our girls who are in their 30s are doing jobs that my husband and I didn't even think about, that weren't even around, they weren't even an option. So what are the skill sets that are needed? And the skill set is, you know, is yes, we have a device. However, it's really about, okay, am I present? Am I purposeful or playful? Can I engage? Is there eye contact? Can I look? Can I listen? Am I interested in someone else? Am I willing to learn? Do I remember that in my struggle lies my success? Because the challenges now with parents is we want to kind of pave the way for them. We want to do it quicker for them, you know. We want to make sure it happens quickly, you know, and yet there's small steps that lead to success. And yeah, it's about celebrating the small wins, you know. Oh, wow, you know, even though you struggle, there's such power in our words, and no one taught me those words, how to use language. So if you think about this, Ilana, the word words, W-R-D-S, if you put the S in front, then it becomes your sword. And the way we speak, and it opens an opportunity for curiosity, for learning, for connection, you know. We talk about connection before content, connection before correction. And that's a big thing. So this whole magnificent future that is waiting for our children, how do we prepare them? It's almost like, what am I doing here? What am I doing here first? So that my child, what is my intention? Where am I placing my attention? And how do I also just have fun with this? Because parents are so challenged with this. It's driving, you know? It's like my child has to be the best. they have to be doing 10 sports and like busy every afternoon.
Yeah, don't even get me started. I think I've been intentional with that, you know, when the kids went to school, I remember with our eldest boy, he's matric now. I remember I saying to him, we need you to play a sport because it's important for physical activity, you know, but we never, you know, thank God for my husband, because I couldn't have thought about this myself, but we never needed him to be the best in swimming and tennis. We just wanted him to be part of a team and try. And now today he has other interests, but I enjoy so much what you have said about, you know, half the time we worried about how they're going to turn out and what they're going to become, instead of just being present. And like you say, so every time Renee says, just use this, she's actually pointing to her head, you know, she's going, just use your head, but be present and have fun. I want to ask you, because I enjoy that you have pointed out that you're an older educator and your values are great and established, and you might find this whole digital communication age quite interesting, but how do we navigate them now? I mean, you are still working with educators. You're a mum yourself. You know, it's almost like it's harder for us to listen, to speak, to read, to write at home at the moment with our current children. I say current, like we will have future children, but it's almost harder to do that because we are in a time of digital communication and social media. And so how are you preparing teachers and parents to use what we have around us in such a very interesting time?
So I think a device can be, you know, so I'm going to just do this for you. So we do at school, and you may know this, Ilana, from your children, often they will reverse the B and the D children. So we tell them to make their bed. So I'm just going to show you so that you can see. Yeah. So it's a B and the D. And so I'm going to say, like, a device can be an incredible tool. However, just think about this. We need to have boundaries, the B and the D, around the device. And we need to be the role models for that. And we need to be able to guide from the side our children. But in order to do that, we have to plan and prepare what we want in our home. So it's like the old school, like, what results do you, the three R's. My three R's are, what results do you want in your home, in your classroom, in your school? What route are you going to take? Yeah. And what resources do you have to get those results? So it's like thinking about your thinking, like metacognition, like thinking about your thinking. So what am I thinking? Because devices are an amazing tool. I mean, that's just look how many people you can touch through social media. However, I'm having parents that are, you know, in parent meetings that are saying to me, my 7-year-old's on TikTok, or my 9-year-old. And you think, okay, where are your boundaries and what's the discipline? Because you're in charge. What do you want to see? Those little glasses. What do you want to see in your home? And think about it, you know, and set it up in a way where there's a conversation. And also engage with your children. And I think, too, what I love about a device and leading into that digital thing is saying, okay, so let's use a simple thing like a timer. Yeah. So how much time do you think you're going to need? Okay, 5 minutes, 10 minutes, set the timer, goes off, and then there. So the children are learning to self-manage. They're learning agency themselves. And then there's conversation. I'm hoping that makes sense for you. Yeah.
It does. It does. Look, I do like the three R's. And I'll give you an example of something that happened in my home, just to bring it back to some of the moms who are hearing you speak for the first time. We were recently moved, and when we were at the other house, before we moved, we had a lot of dollies packed out, and everything was a lot of play between my girls, who are 7 and 9. So they would play with their dollies. They would dress their dollies. The dolly has a horse, and so on. And then when we moved to the new house, the dollies were now still in storage boxes. And I remember there was one weekend where, and we were probably in the home, the new house, only 2 weeks. And I remember saying to my husband, I find that they've wanted to watch TV a lot more. What do you think is the result of this? I couldn't understand that the kids were watching such a lot of television. And something as simple as that, you know, I realized that the dollies were still packed away. And we only had a few for them to have access to. But you know, the result we want is for them to play with dollies. But the truth is, the root of it all, they were packed away. They were still in storage boxes, something as simple as that. So, I mean, it makes complete sense that if you want your children to thrive, you need to create a thriving environment. If you want them to love God, you need to pray. If you want them to be educated, we need to surround them with tools that makes them feel empowered through education. What is the whole notion around critical thinking skills? Explain the term to us. If we want our children to be a critical thinker, what does that look like?
So it may be as simple as giving them something and saying to them, so, you know, so what do you, or asking questions. I think questions are so important. We've forgotten how to ask a question. So, and ask, you know, that acronym is like always seeking knowledge. And we forget. So the little ones, when they're little, they're always asking questions and we celebrate that. And then they suddenly get to an age where we say, no, stop asking questions. It's too much. Or go and ask the, you know, the dad or everyone else. And I think it's really about thinking about your thinking. And it's also about how do I get to think even more laterally, critical thinking? How do I do this even better? So this happened. And how do you think we could do it even better? Or perhaps if we did it this way, what do you think? Sometimes when we do this way, what do you think? So it's about engaging with the child and getting them to think. Instead of spoon feeding them. So in the old days, we would often just, and actually I'm going to say this, it happens today too, is like we spoon feed our kids. If you go to some schools, challenge, you know, they just, excuse the language, but they're just vomiting up the curriculum. You know, those are the 10 words they must learn. They write the test on the Friday, they get their mark, and then that's done. They've ticked the box. And there's no like engaging with those words, perhaps, or thinking about how they could use them in a story, or thinking of what the rhyming words are. You know, so that's the kind of thing, critical thinking. So how do I do this better? How do I learn? How do I unlearn and relearn?
While we're thinking of our critical thinkers, immediately I'm faced with most of us who have got long hours at work. I was asked again this week by one of the moms at school why I don't do school run. And I said, I don't do school run because I work. And mommies go to work in the morning and it serves me that my husband does school run. But then in the evening, I've got the girls, you know, so I think we all trying to juggle our own. But in terms of long hours, you know, how do we keep creativity alive? It is true for most that when we come home and children come from school, they're tired. They've just had a whole day of learning. And now we need to be creative and excited about homework, you know. So how do we keep this creative and alive? Some days, even I'm quite enthusiastic to do grade 3 maths and I'm really good at it. And then, you know, the learner, my daughter, she doesn't want to. And then all the other times when she's ready to show me, you know, mom, I can actually spell barbecue because I said to her, it's not barbecue or barbecue. You know, we had a long discussion around all the Q words this week. And then, you know, I'm excited and she's like, you know, I've done this in my test. I want to quickly unlearn this. Come on, make us excited again. Renee, you know how to do this. We're tired. Yeah. Actually,
you're tired. Yeah, so I have such a lot of compassion for parents and working parents. I mean, my daughter's a working mum. She's got two little ones. And I see it, you know. And I also want to say, Alana, when I had our two girls, I was also working, but kind of working around them. It sounds a little bit like you. And, you know, so everyone said to me, you've got to reach your child every night. Well, I often work at night because that's when schools want parent conversations. And so my children listened to a story on, and in those days it was a tape recorder. Yes, yeah? So I would get all the stories out of the library and they would listen to the story. Right. Today, you can use your smartphone, you know, they can have a story, they can follow the story. You don't, it's like, what is needed? The win is, what is needed? And then how do I get creative about providing and meeting that need, and then also feeling like I'm enough, like as the adults, like I'm enough. How do I get creative in thinking this is what my child needs? They need stories. Oh wow, we're brushing teeth. 2 minutes twice a day. So that's obviously very high on people's values, eh? The V. You don't forget about like saying to your kid, oh, have you brushed your teeth tonight? It's like something. So then whatever brand of toothpaste you're using, it's such a fun thing. Like, what is, you know, like, what's the first sound? What's the end sound? Can you think of a rhyming word? How many parts in that brand's name? Yeah. How many milk? Yeah. So what is it measured in? And often adults don't know that the toothpaste is measured in mils. So you get curious. So it's like, what are you doing? Like, you get home, your child has a notchy. Yes. Can you see? I'm very like visual, auditory, countersectic. You can see notchy. Yes. Like, how many segments do you think? They have segments. Do you think every notch has the same number of segments? And they're all like, okay, now we peel. Now we count. Yay. You know, so it's like, what are you already doing? And then how do you just bring in the language, the words, and have fun doing it? And then at night go, yes, that's enough. So you've got a grade 3. You've got to do homework. So I've done a lot of homework talks. I'm a great believer in home play as opposed to homework. And so all the educators I work with, my invitation, the win for me is what invitation now is like less is more at home. Parents are really stressed. So what is your intention with the homework teachers? You need to have conversations with one another in your phase. You need to know who's giving what. And you need to know it's the quality as opposed to the quantity. So teach your parents how to play card games. Have a big card games workshop. Have dice there. We do a lot of workshops around with even just using retail, the adverts, you know, the flyers. You can do such a lot in quick conversation. And I think, you know, it's all around us. I mean, you can use an egg box. It's like an incredible tool, Ilana. An egg box, just think half dozen. You open it. It can be a sorting box for a little child, you know, like with little doppies or goji berries and raisins, if you like, you know, with your fingers or with tweezers or whatever. Or you can have colors in it or numbers in it or words in it or sounds in it. You can put a piece of popcorn, shake and open and say, oh, mom, I landed on the curly cup. Ah, I can think of a word with a curly cup. Oh, yes, cat. Eat the piece of popcorn. Put another. Or it's on numbers. Oh, I landed on the 10. I landed on. So you can adapt whatever you've got in a playful way for your child. You can put 2 pieces of popcorn. Oh, mom, it landed on the 4 and 8. 4 plus 8 is 12. Or if they're older, 4 multiplied by 8 is 32. That playful thing, like when you...
It's
when you
so weird young. That you just said that, because this week we are learning 8 times tables. And when you mentioned the egg boxes now, I'm actually going to do that because, you know, sometimes it's hard to remember 8, 16, 24. So, I want to use the egg boxes and then do the timetables in the egg boxes, and you can rearrange the numbers according to what they should
Absolutely.
Be.
Absolutely.
This is fascinating. Sorry, I didn't mean to break your word. You were saying...
For me are like they are an exceptional tool. I will take egg boxes. So like with professional development with teachers. So where are you feeling like you're exceptional, you're enough? Where are you feeling less than, you know? Where are you feeling boosted? Where are you feeling diminished? Like look at it and then balance that. So egg boxes you can use, and I'm just gonna get it for you if you don't mind. So these are amazing tools. They become like a snakes and ladder thing, yeah? So imagine this. What you're wanting to do is to invite curiosity, agency, iteration. So iteration is like learning in many different ways, curiosity. So if I gave this to you, Ilana, what would you do with this egg box?
I would cut it up and chew some of the pieces as chewing gum, and the rest I would use to sort my makeup in.
I love it. Okay, so that's what's so nice. You give them this. You give this to your daughter. You say, okay, the dollies are away. So what would you do? You will be amazed at, like, they're thinking. That's good. Like, yeah, so how do I use it? So some of them came up with, like, the littlies walk on it. It's a great sensory tool. Little ones with their feet to walk on this.
Ooh,
sensory
yes.
tool. Gorgeous. Yes? This. combined with another little dopey. Okay, can I do balancing? Yes, balance them. This, can I put out a pattern? Can you copy the pattern? This, can I divide it in half? Can I put a pattern here? Mm. Can you copy the pattern there? This, can we do motor, like throw it up and down? Can we use a dice and it becomes a baseboard from top to bottom, left to right, top to bottom? I throw four, you go, 1, 2, 3, 4. You throw six, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. I throw seven, I must go. So I've got to go from top to bottom, left to right. Older children will put numbers in. Oh, you land here, +2, you can move 2.
I mean,
you will be amazed at how, if you invite it, children will come up with the most incredible things. And, you know, Einstein said, curiosity, creativity is contagious, pass it on. And when we do that as adults, oh, my word, children just fly with it. And I have done, I mean, I've seen
flourish,
adults, you know, just like I go, wow, got this? I can put numbers in here. I can put words in here. My children need to practice all these things in different ways. Yay.
Love it. Totally do. So while we are talking numbers, we are raising budding entrepreneurs, presidents, you know, we need to problem solve. I mean, you've just developed a whole strategy for us in how to problem solve by just playing around the home. I love that. But, you know, learning to work in teams, is that an important skill? I see and I envy children who are able to play in team sport. I remember I'm shouting now for my daughter next to the netball field, you know, and I'm running and I'm cheering her on. But I never played netball as a child at school. You know, I was a hockey player and I really enjoyed it, but only very later in life. Is being part of a team an important skill? And if so, how does one strengthen that whole team spirit in the family environment? What if my child says, we've got four, and the one says, I'd rather lie in my bag and read. I don't want to play with my friends because they chit-chat. You know, how do we nurture it? Is it important?
I also think that we have different personalities and they're different personality types, so allow for that. Because people will often say, oh, you know, a shy child isn't confident. However, a shy child might be very confident. They are just taking time to assess the situation. Because when that child, like maybe like me, like, okay, so let's just go for it. Maybe when I'm a teenager, that just let's go for it might be a challenge. Whereas the shy child might be looking and saying, I'm just going to assess this first before I jump in. Yeah. So team, I think in a family, I think all the, I know from the research that I've read, is it's wise that our children do chores, and we possibly can change what we call the chores. Let's call it contributions. So each of us has a contribution. Perhaps as a family, we sit together and we say, okay, so what is needed in this family? Oh, the dog needs to be fed. The cat needs to be fed. We need to put our, you know, the washing needs to be loaded. So you make a list together playfully. For me, it is really about the emotion, what we bring to the table. Like, you know, you want to be engaging. You don't want to be like, this is like, let's do this together. This is teamwork. This is what it looks like. In our home, we need these things to be done. Have you got any ideas? You know, what can we do even better? So then we all have a contribution. And what they've shown in research is the children that actually have a contribution, that are participating as a team in the home, they do much better later on in life because they've learned how to participate, how to be part of a team, how to contribute, how to do it even when they don't want to do it. And I think for me, at that language, like, sure, even though their days, so like as an adult, for our child to hear, oh, even though I really didn't feel in the mood to do that, I knew I had to do it. I'm talking to my husband now. My child's hearing me, yeah? So they're listening all the time. And they're learning from us. We're modeling what we want to grow and plant and instill in them.
Do we create, this is so useful. Do we create a psychologically a safe space intentionally? I mean, Children feel safe usually at home and with their parents anyway. But do we do this intentionally? We had a beautiful podcast with one of your colleagues about the shy child, and I actually played it to a lot of moms and dads, and they were quite surprised about the confidence around the shy child. But do we intentionally create a safe space, or do we just assume that this space is safe anyway and child will feel confident to trust me, or will feel that they can contribute or speak, even for the withdrawn child?
Yeah, I think intention is important. So, you know, I work with the families and I work in school, and I think particularly for me, it is like, what's the intention now? Is how do I set this up to facilitate, to encourage, like, you're seen and you're heard, and your feelings are important. And how do I validate, how do I acknowledge that? How do I accept that? And how do I actively reach to invite you to know that you are actually safe here? Your voice matters, yeah? Your voice and your feelings matter. So that doesn't always happen, Ilana, you know? And I want to tell you, in schools, that doesn't. I mean, we have amazing educators. And some are really challenged. You know, they've got big classes. They're 38, 40, 45. And what they're demonstrating is they're tired, exhausted, etc. And they don't always stay in that space of being calm in chaos. And when I'm calm, when I can say, I can handle your big feelings, because children, you know, they have big emotions. And how do I meet that big emotion in a way that's calm, clear? How do I co-regulate that? How do they look at me and say, you know, and I actually can even voice that. I said, I can deal with your big emotions. I'm just going to sit here. I'm going to wait. I'm going to sit here. And I'm going to wait for that big emotion. I love you. You're safe. And you talk about it when the time is right for you. It's a little bit like when there is a mess somewhere, like that is my message as my parent, as a parent. If the mess is in the morning when I'm getting ready to rush to school and all hell breaks loose, it's like I look to my child and say, what can we do even better? I engage with them. I want them to have agent. I want them to contribute. Oh, mom, maybe I must, you know, like have that conversation. Pack my bag before, put it at the door, lunchbox. Have I done my homework the night before or my home plan? Where is it? Do I have a map up in the kitchen or where I'm, or in my bedroom? Like saying, this is my routine. This is what I'm going to do first, second, third, fourth. You know, they're simple ways to make a child. So also I'm going to say this is, people will come to me and they'll say, oh, my child doesn't want to greet the grandparent, or they don't want to say hello, or they hide behind me. So we have to prepare that child, you know. So we're going to see granny. How do you want to say hi? Do you want to wave? Do you want to high five? Do you want to wait? Yeah, it's important to have those conversations and be intentional about a safe space. Because you know, as an adult, you sit in a boardroom and you don't always feel safe.
Renee, I did not know what I was letting myself in for when I started this conversation with you, because you are something else, okay? I just want to tell you that. And I mean, we called this using objects around the house for educational purposes, but this is more than that. If you think of all the areas that we've touched today and some of the things that we spoke about, what would you say is your biggest message to parents out there listening to this conversation and watching this video, which would also, I guess, be the title of this conversation?
Mm-hmm. So I think, Ilana, which I didn't know. You know, my father was born in 1920. My mother was born in 1926. Now you can see, you understand. Wow. They did the very best they could. That's all I know. And sometimes it wasn't that great. Yeah. And every family has some kind of BS going on. Yeah. And I think we have the opportunity to pause right now and then to use all those resources we have. I mean, you have this amazing podcast. You have incredible people you can follow, like Dr. Becky Kennedy on Instagram, you know, Good Inside. We have information. Decide, you know, by design, not by default, what kind of parent you want to be. What is needed in your family? What do you need? And then know that actually what you need is there for you. You have what is needed inside. It's just like unlock it, you know. It's like pause. Sit together with the people who are taking care of your child, of your children. Say, what do we want to see? Let's just get a one page. You know, like you do in business. Like business excites me. I love business. I have had amazing business coaches. Like get one page. Why do we do that in business? And yet, yeah, we are in the business of brain development. We are in the business of growing children. And yet we just sometimes we bumble along instead of like, okay, like pause. Think about this. What do I do? What am I going to do today to grow what I want in my child? And then I'm going to say this. Am I demonstrating that in my life? And when I mess, because you will always mess, it's, you know, we're human beings, then it's like, oops, wow, I can do that better. Hang on, kids, you know, I could say that better. I can do this better. Hold on, hold on. Demonstrate what is needed. Because what is next is your child is going to go into a future that you and I have no cooking clue is going to look like. So best we prepare them in a way that invites them to be thinking, speaking, being children that are, yeah, much more than us, actually. How nice is that?
Renee Leighton, our guest, more than just objects, we are learning through play and through being present and through what we actually have inside of us. You can follow Renee. So Renee Leighton has a website. It's reneleighton.co.za. You can also follow her on social media on Facebook, Renee Leighton or Renee_Leighton, and find this amazing woman who is raising our teachers, parents, as well as our children. Renee, you are phenomenal, and we really love your necklace. So if you're watching this on our videos, you'll know exactly what I'm talking about. But if you're listening to our podcast, you better watch our videos. Follow us right now at Baby Brunch.
This podcast was supported by Epimax Baby and Junior. Epimax Baby and Junior is dermatologist approved, free of artificial colorants and fragrances, and is safe to use from birth. Touch, nourish, love your child's skin with Epimax Baby and Junior. Available from leading pharmacies and retail stores.